Okay. All right. So we are in Selected Messages, Book 2, page 98. And we're going right down to the where the subheading is tested by the law and the testimony. I guess she's going to be hitting heavy on Isaiah 8:20 here. So about to start. Okay. In these, okay, it says, okay, in these days of delusion, everyone who is established in the truth will have to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. So, let me reread that. In these days of delusion, everyone who is established in the truth will have to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Every variety of error will be brought out in the mysterious working of Satan, which would, if it were possible, deceive the very elect and turn them from the truth. And this is one of the reasons I just, by the way, updated a page on my site called World's Last Chance Warning, you know, because that website that supposedly, I mean, this guy at that ministry, I mentioned him a couple times on the radio years ago because they used to be friends of ours. And that's why I put a disclaimer on WTPR that we are no longer associated with worldslastchance.com at all. They are not Christians anymore. They're not considered Christians. They're pushing strange theology. They're saying Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, and Sabbath changes every month with the cycle of the moon. Really off the deep end. And so what she's saying here is, like, we're going to have to contend for the truth here. We're going to have to go forth and, you know, clarify it in the eyes of the people from time to time. And this is why I just recently updated a page on my like that World Last Chance page where I expose what they do, because it was just a back-and-forth email dissertation between myself and this guy that we used to be friends with. That he actually used my Characteristics of Antichrist page to start his ministry, World's Last Chance. So he's pulling people in with the truth we preach, but once he gets them in there, boy, does he make a mess of their the theology. And praise God, many of them, the elect, they leave. They realize something's up there, something's wrong, and so they make it out of there just fine. So everything's good there. But like I said, I just updated because he's got this thing with Avon. He owns millions and millions of dollars worth of their shares and stuff. He's part of their corporate body, I guess, and he's selling it for $1 billion or something, $1.2 billion. But there was something that he, I don't care what he did, because I just updated. I just remembered that just the other day because something else just happened strangely with what he's doing. And he's a good example of what she's talking about here. He's going out there telling people all the strange theology. And or others, there's people out there that have this strange theology about the nature of Christ. Or, you know, all sorts of, or like the one God people, they, you know, like with that, or even the people that are using the pioneers from Ellen White's day and taking them out of context, or even taking some of the pioneers that they retracted their statements and found out that they were in error. And they're using their statements before they retracted, and they're actually using them as if they're truth now, which, by the way, Sister White did say that that would happen near the end. And so they're doing that. And there's people out there taking Bible verses out and say, you've got to rip that Bible verse out of your Bible. It shouldn't be in your Bible. But yet when the two witnesses came and went, that verse was there before and after. So not much you can do there. Hold on. Oh, yeah, Great Controversy, page 608, paragraph 2. As the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. This we just saw happen recently with a few members of the church. All right? And we've seen it happen actually over the last, well, since 2004. What is that, 8 years? So this is going to happen, you know, the shaking is going to continue, and it's just going to keep on going until we get home. It's fine. Anyway, she goes on to say, there will be human wisdom to meet, the wisdom of learned men, who, as were the Pharisees, are teachers of the law of God, but do not obey the law themselves. You ever hear the preacher on TV? Do as I say, not as I do. Well, then get off the pulpit. I mean, come on. What are you doing up there? Oh, I'm so full of wisdom that I should spill it out for you so that you can understand us and grow in Christ while I party hardy. Yeah, it makes about as much sense as a penny, I think. But she goes on to say, there will be human ignorance and folly to meet in disconnected theories arrayed in new and fanatic dress. Theories that it will be all the more difficult to meet because there is no reason in them. And this is one of the reasons my website, by the way, it's pushing 10,000 pages now, because stuff like, for example, Michael the Archangel. I knew about the theology many, many years ago, and I didn't think to have it on the website until I started getting all this stuff in the emails where people are trying to tell me that we're wrong about it. And so I finally had to do that, and that was a six-month-long study. And I thought that was bad until I did the Revelation study. Well, I shouldn't say bad. Until that was time-consuming. It was good, and it was not bad in any way, shape, or form. It was just time-consuming. It was a six-month-long study for me to do that Michael thing, to show that Michael and Jesus are one and the same. And there's all sorts of verses to back that up. If you've never heard it before, just go to the Michael, like, Who is Michael the Archangel page in my Bible Truth section of the website. And absolute scriptures that, you know, and no, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses or anything like that, you know. So, but anyway, that one was 6 months, but then, you know, I started getting all these emails from people telling me this or telling me that or telling me this or telling me that in regards to what certain symbols in Revelation meant. And because their preacher said this or their teacher said that or they heard this from some guy on TV or they saw this on a website and stuff like that. And so Sister White's not kidding here. And that's why I did that one study on Revelation. It's a 327-page study. You could print it out with only a half-inch border around the paper on 8.5 by 11, both sides, 327 pages. That took me almost 3 years, or was it almost 4 years? I can't remember. It's 2.5 or 3.5 years. I don't know how long it took, but it was long. Every symbol in Revelation, I let the Bible define them. They're all there. Now, when someone says, well, I think oil means this, or I mean, or I think woman means that, or what is it? Well, here, this is what the Bible says it means. And so you got to do this. You got to contend with the truth. She says there will be false dreams and false visions. Remember Ernie Knowles? Okay, that's right. She's not, and that guy was claiming to be Seventh-day Adventist, saying he had all these dreams and stuff like that. He was a prophet from God all of a sudden. So there will be false dreams and false visions, which have some truth, but lead away from the original faith. The Lord has given men a rule by which to detect them. And it's Isaiah 8:20. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It's so simply put. Absolute. She said, oh, and by the way, this works well, too, when that revival of Satan hits the planet. And because I'm convinced in my mind, because I'm just looking at the signs all around me, and, I have a tendency to 6 days a week, I got my nose to the grindstone checking out what's going on in the world and putting it on the website, 3 to 4 articles, hopefully two videos, the main page. And, when the enemy of souls stands on this earth and acts like he can heal people, and they actually are healed because the demon just lets go of them, they don't realize it's a demon causing the sickness. It's like, whatever, I'm not going to get into the details on that with the manifestations, but some people are going to be tested in this way. And I can just see loved ones running up to someone that's sick and telling them, you got to come see this. You got to go, whether it's a guy that works for this guy that's calling himself Jesus on the planet, or actually this guy calling himself Jesus on the planet is in your neck of the woods now, and you got to go up there and check this guy out. You got this disease, you got that problem, you got that, you got to go, and you'll just be healed instantly. But this is that, Antichrist that was prophesied. And he's also saying you must go to church on Sunday. This is why Sister White goes into what she says next year. Amen, Sean. Jesus says, do not go there. He doesn't, and Jesus doesn't have to go into any big details saying just don't go there. Just obey Jesus. You won't have anything to worry about. If you think you can handle the presence of a fallen angel, then explain why John collapsed in worship in Revelation 19, verse 10. In Revelation 19, where the angel, I think it was around verse 10. And this is a good angel, so the good angel told him to knock it off, of course, that he was a fellow servant. But Satan wants worship, and he's an angel. He's fallen, but he's still an angel. And he'll manifest in a way that when you get into his presence, the fact you're going in his presence guarantees you're going to hell because you just disobeyed Jesus, who said, do not go there. Because if you go there, you're already disobeying him, which means the devil now has permission to do what he wants with you. You gave him that permission. It's the same thing as bringing rock music into your home or violent video games or porn. Anything you bring into your house, you're giving the devil permission to be there. And for you young people, if you're doing this to your parents and you're getting all sorts of these problems in your life and you can't figure out why, well, now maybe you know. If there's any young people here that are dealing with stuff like this, you shouldn't be bringing stuff into the house. And don't get in your parents' face if they go around and start looking through your dresser drawers. That's their right. You're in their house. Well, yell privacy. Hey, if there's issues in the house, there's problems in the house, you know, if the parents are wise, they're going to go start looking through your stuff because they know what they got in their stuff. You know, so sometimes you got to do it. I've done it. You know, so, you know, kids are kids. They're going to do things. You know? So going on, she says, after quoting Isaiah 8:20, where they come up with all these, you know, strange things, she says, if they belittle the law of God, if they pay no heed to his will as revealed in the testimonies of the Spirit, they are deceivers. It's just that simple. The word of God is plain. They're not a prophet of God if they can't embrace the law. They can't. It's just as easy. Like, look at the guys like Walter Veith or some of the other guys like Doug Batchelor or even Benny Hinn for that matter. I mean, well, Benny Hinn, okay, he's a Sunday keeper. That's a piece of cake. Isaiah 20 really slams his door shut. But when you think of guys like Walter Veith, people go, well, wait a second, Nicholas, he preaches the same message you guys do. Yeah, and how hard is that when you just go to RemnantOfGod.org? Or you go to SDRMinistries.org or anybody's site that's part of our church family. And I'm not saying that we're all that and they're copying our sermons down, because there's stuff out there that's been out there for well over 100 years thanks to Sister White, right? And so that stuff's already out there. So it's not that difficult for them to read that stuff, study that stuff, and get up there on a pulpit and look like they're preaching just like us. And you know how I know that they're not really understanding prophecy the way God's people do? It's because they all got a 501c3. Have you seen my most recent video about the 501c3? If they can't catch the most basic prophecy, 101, you know, bare minimum image of the beast prophecy, if they can't see that one coming, how are they going to understand the deep, understand truths of the scriptures in regards to the law of God or even the prophecies? They're play acting. Anybody can read a book. You know, but if they can't understand a basic prophecy, then they really don't understand prophecy, which means they're faking it. It's just that simple. And when it comes to the law of God, well, you guys, like I said, you know, this demon or sending his little cohorts out into the world that demand Sunday laws, you know, because that's what's going to go down. They're going to demand Sunday laws at this manifestation, and then the people are going to have these healings and stuff like that going on. Well, right off the bat, you know, They can't possibly be from God. And if these healings are happening, it's not from God. Well, God may not realize that they don't understand about, you know, the Sunday laws yet because, you know, they just might not get it yet. Well, look, 6,000 years worth of prophecies have worked up to this day. If you can't catch all the arrows that are pointing to this day right now, you need to get back into the Bible. Because we got 6,000 years worth of prophecy to say that, look, no, this is not just some pebble kicking down the road kind of a guy that doesn't really understand the truth about the Sunday laws. Everybody's going to know the differences between the real Sabbath and the Sunday Sabbath. That is stated, you know, there's not going to be, I mean, the Lord's not going to, like in today's language, chump anybody, say, okay, you're going to hell because you just didn't get it. I didn't have time to get around to you. No, every ear is going to hear this and everyone's going to make that final decision. The devil will use deception, of course, to try to get it out there. He's not going to walk up to the Sunday and say, look, you got to receive the mark of the beast. No, he's going to make the Sunday law look like a necessity, like it's your duty, like it's the good thing to do. You know, everybody's going to fall for it. I mean, did you see that video I put on the site today about how they're getting people lined up in Japan to buy, for Black Friday, they call it? that thing around Christmas, I think it is. It's right after Thanksgiving. It's Black Friday. It looked like cattle. Just tens of thousands of people, or maybe, I don't know if it was tens of thousands, but it looked like tens of thousands of people just filing to go in, and it was, look at how easy they got them corralled just to buy some electronic goodies. How hard is it going to get them to, you know, to fall in line for a healing? She says, they are controlled by impulse and impressions, which they believe to be from the Holy Spirit and consider more reliable than the inspired word. You see that? I know people that do that. They'll tell you right to their face, okay, yeah, okay, fine. I understand the Bible says that what I just said is wrong, but look, I know for a fact the Holy Spirit told me, look, we're not Muslims. Because that's Muslim theology. That's also Vatican theology, if you think about it, which is par for the course because they invented the religion of Islam. We've got that documented now. But the Islamic, like the Quran, if you read an old verse in the Quran and then read a newer word, newer one that contradicts the older one, they say, well, the newer one holds firm because as the truth grew, it nullified the old thoughts. It says, well, then how come the Christian Bible doesn't do that? Our God never changes. See, that's the differences between truth, absolute truth. It's eternal. It never changes. It's rock solid. These false lies that they claim to be truth are changing every time you turn around. And people fall for this hook line. I mean, there's over 1 billion Muslims out there. And there's also 1 billion Catholics, too. So she goes on to say that they are controlled by impulses and impressions, which they believe to be from the Holy Spirit, and are considering it to be more reliable than the inspired word. They claim that every thought and feeling is an impression of the Spirit, and when they are reasoned with out of the Scriptures, they declare that they have something more reliable. But while they think that they are led by the Spirit of God, they are in reality following an imagination wrought upon by Satan. Okay, now this next one, and this is going to be a good one too because it's probably the title is Tested by Their Fruits. It's page 99 if you're just joining us on the radio. Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 99. And it's Tested by Their Fruits. That's another thing, okay? You got the Sunday keeping for one thing, and then you got the people up there drinking or eating the pork or dressing the way they dress. Have you seen the new, and I haven't put it on the site. I'm going to put it on SDA Apostasy soon. I don't update that site anywhere near as often as I do, remember God. But there's an article, there's a new movement out here. They're called Seventh Gay Adventists. I kid you not. Seventh Gay Adventists. And we have Seventh-day Adventists. We have them on film, I mean, on videotape. That one, I think he was Korean, a pastor in Loma Linda over there, stating that wanting the homosexual marriage law to pass in California so that they can get married. And these Seventh Gay Adventists are saying, I can't even say gay, it's not, Seventh Homosexual Adventists is what it is. But they claim all the theology of the SDA Church, and they want to be able to, you know, go out there and date. This is date. You know what it means when you say date, when you're dating someone that's a homosexual? You don't just date. You're going to do things that you should not do. Yeah, it's just apostasy. Amen. And it's just, but that's another way to test them by the fruits. So going on, page 99, it says, in these days of peril, we are not to accept everything that men bring to us as truth. As professed teachers from God come to us declaring that they have a message from God, it is proper to inquire carefully. How do we know that this is truth? Did the Bereans do that in Acts 17:11? That's what you got to do. Jesus, she says, Jesus has told us that the false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many in Matthew 24:11. But we need not be deceived, for the word of God gives us a test whereby we may know what is truth. The prophet says to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20, of course, again. From this statement, it is evident that it becomes us to be diligent Bible students, that we may know what is according to the law and the testimony. We are safe in no other course of action. And no, again, and I said this before, I'll say it again, you don't have to be a theologian. You have to be honestly looking in the scriptures to the best of your ability, and the Lord will bless you. You don't have to know you don't have to memorize the Bible like the young Jewish men did back in Jesus' day. This is why the guys jumped off the boat immediately when a rabbi comes walking up and says, "Follow me." That was part of life back then. It was an amazing thing to be, you know, going after, you know, having the dust of your rabbi upon your sandals, kind of a thing. And so we have to stay in the Word. I mean, once we're in there and we're safe, again, you don't have to be a theologian. The Lord knows your heart. If you're honestly trying your best, He's going to bless you and keep you safe. 1 Corinthians 10:13 confirms it. You can claim that promise. The devil can't come up to you with a theological dissertation that you can't get even one word out of it to understand it, so that he can frazzle your brain and cause you to go to hell with him. No, he's not allowed to do that because you don't understand that area yet. I mean, there's areas in the scripture I don't understand yet. You know, like doctors of divinity make no sense to me because the Bible says we're going to be studying the scriptures all throughout eternity. And there's not a single preacher on this planet that can tell me they know the Bible inside out, back and forth, every single solitary verse, what every single one of them know. I call that man a liar. There's just no way that they can do that. Because if they did, why would eternity have to be? Why would we have to go and study the Bible throughout all eternity? And if he understood every single solitary verse like that from cover to cover, well then, where's your wings? I'd like to see you walk on water too. Raise the dead, heal the sick. Even Benny Hinn won't do that. You won't see Benny Hinn going anywhere near a hospital if he really had that gift of healing. Why is he always going to these big old coliseums? Because he can control it there. She goes on. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." That's, of course, Jesus speaking in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 19. Okay, this next one is called Voluntary Exhibition Evidence, Spurious Work. As this brother and his wife outlined their experiences, which they claim have come to them as the result of receiving the Holy Ghost with apostolic power, it seemed to be a facsimile of that which we were called to meet and correct in our early experience. Toward the close of our interview, Brother L. proposed that we unite in prayer, with the thought that possibly while in prayer, his wife would be exercised as they had described to me, and that then I might be able to discern whether this was of the Lord or not. To this, I could not consent, because I have been instructed that when one offers to exhibit their peculiar manifestations, this is a decided evidence that is not the work of God, of our God. Well, our God, or the God, the Lord. And that makes perfect sense. You don't tell the guy what, you're not, you know, a Roman Catholic priest standing on a pulpit after you got done harming a child and demanding Jesus step into the host with your strange hocus pocus doctrine of transubstantiation. Because that's what they were trying to do here. They're going to command the Lord, more or less, or hopefully he'll come and do something. You know, put that little word in there, that one, just to soften the blow a little. But that's not the way it's not the way our Father works. You can manifest demons like that. Ask any witch. Well, no, still clear them. So, here's a good section. Page 100, by the way, if you're just joining us. Selected Messages, Volume 2. Bible not superseded by miracles. Amen. Hence, cabbage juice, cabbage poultice on the man's knees. Remember earlier what was our brothers and sisters did in the Philippines? You know, natural methods works too. Hezekiah, right? You got any figs? So, it says, "Let none cherish the idea that special providences or miraculous manifestations are to be the proof of the genuineness of their work or of the ideas they advocate. You know, like the doctrines they preach. If we keep these things before the people, they will produce an evil effect, an unhelpful emotion. The genuine working of the Holy Spirit on human hearts is promised to give efficiency through the Word. So we got the promise, and we can claim the promise. It's just like at the end of a healing, if in fact the Lord allows us to see a person healed before our eyes, and even if he doesn't, you can say to them, you know, go and sin no more. We are the only church on earth that can say that. And no, I'm not saying we are the only Seventh-day, the Seventh-day Adventist people are the only one headed to heaven. No. There's people out there that believe exactly the way we do. We just haven't met them yet. And I consider them part of this church because that's how the Bible describes them. Because like a Sunday keeper can't say, okay, go and sin no more. Like if Benny Hinn actually had the gift of healing, he could not say after he healed somebody, go and sin no more. Because after he heals them, he can say, okay, continue to sin every week, come here on Sunday. Even if it was just that one thing. I mean, we already got videotape of Benny Hinn handing heroin to people, you know, those pipes or the opium pipes. And this guy is one of those guys that says, do as I say, not as I do. And so he can't say go and sin no more either. And even if he didn't have the Sunday doctrine. Or like take, for example, some SDA pastors. You know, they're in apostasy. They keep Sabbath, though. Well, do they really? So going on, let none cherish the idea. Wait, I already read that. Okay, if we keep these things before the people, they will produce an evil effect and unhealthful emotion. The genuine working of the Holy Spirit on human hearts is promised. I read that. Christ has declared the word to be spirit and life. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Jehovah as the waters cover the sea. That's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. And then she says, Satan will work in a most subtle manner to introduce human inventions clothed with angel garments. But the light from the Word is shining amid the moral darkness, and the Bible will never be superseded by miraculous manifestations. The truth must be studied. And here's a good example of the devil trying to make people think the truth, the Bible can be superseded by manifestations. You get up one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and grandma sitting at the end of your bed, and she's been dead 20 years, okay? But you know what your Bible says about the state of the dead. You know the Bible says she's sleeping. She is not going to be sitting at the end of your bed. But the devil says, well, here you go. There's grandma. And people will believe it, even though, like take for example that one, like that page I have on the website about meeting the devil. That man knew about the theology. He knew about the state of the dead. When that voodoo high priest manifested his two dead daughters, he fell for it. And that happened in modern day, people, by the way. I'm not bringing something up to, you know, some fall-to-all from some Hollywood movie. These things happen. Before I was a Christian, I saw manifestations. I'm not going to go into it. I was a dabbler, if you will. We had many what we thought were poltergeists. And so these things can do what they want. If you are open to it, if you're, you know, giving the devil permission to be there, in other words, open to it. And, but if you're in the Bible, that door slams shut and you can't do it. But some people are in the Bible, but they don't believe it. They're just reading it to go through the motions. You know, they don't have, like we were talking about earlier, they don't have patience with themselves. And so they figure they can't handle this walk with Christ. And so they're really just going through the motions. But there's going to be a lot of people when that manifestation hits, when the devil and the Antichrist gets here and starts supposedly healing people, there's going to be a lot of people, especially teachers in the church. I mean, think of, and the people say, oh, that's just impossible. Like say a doctor of divinity that everybody trusts, the guy's really, really, really good at preaching. He's got it all down to a science. And he's going to fall for it. There's no way that I could see him getting on TV and say, look, you people have to go here. You know, okay, fine. I never thought this would be possible, but I believe this is Jesus Christ on the planet. This has got to be this. Even though the Bible says that he's not going to touch the planet, this is proof. And now there's another manifestation right there, right? Their miraculous manifestation supersedes the Bible, because the Bible specifically states that Jesus does not touch the planet. The dead in Christ rise, and we that are alive are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. It doesn't say he's going to be on the planet when he comes. But this will supersede that. This miracle will supersede that biblical truth, right? For many. And if you don't think these doctors of divinity or these leaders in the SDA church or these leaders in any church are going to get out there and proclaim that this really is Jesus on planet Earth, then explain to me why they're already now sanctioning homosexual marriage. That's something you never thought they would ever do 20 years ago. Oh, that's just simply impossible. There's no way an SDA pastor is going to say that they should let two men get married or two women get married. There's just no way that people should be able to kill their babies because they don't want to get stretch marks. You know, 40 years ago, if somebody would have said that girls are going to kill their babies because they're afraid of losing their boyfriends, they'd laugh at you. It's impossible. But look at today. So it's not going to be a far stretch for someone to be trusted in the mainstream when it comes to the church itself to come up and proclaim that this man is Jesus Christ, or this demon is Jesus Christ. These people are going to fall for it, because they're already falling for anything. I mean, the devil's testing them left and right, just like the Lord tests us. We get tested as we go through life to see if the Lord can use us during that time. Well, they're getting tested too. The Lord Jesus wants us to do certain things for us, and so sometimes, or certain things for him. And so sometimes we're going to get these major trials, right? Because if he wants us to do big things in the future, well, he's going to have to give us some big trials. Well, the same thing with the devil. The devil wants someone to be a mouthpiece for him when that day comes. He's going to get some of these guys. He's going to say, okay, will you actually go out into the media and say that homosexuals should be married? As a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, will you do that? Because if you do, I can use you in the future. Sure enough, that guy goes up there. Now, of course, he doesn't hear the devil saying that word for word. He's just moved by the demon that he's been following his whole life anyway. So, finishing up, I think, I don't know if this is going to go into another chapter, but she says, the truth must be studied. It must be searched for as hidden treasure. Wonderful illuminations will not be given aside from the Word, or to take place of it. Cling to the Word. Receive the engrafted Word, which will make men wise unto salvation. So, amen, amen, amen. And yes, good, chapter 12. Perfect timing. We're 5 minutes to 11. So, kind of had a feeling that was happening because it was going that direction. So amen, amen, amen. So, amen. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew 24:4. Amen, Brother Ace. And praise the Lord, my hip pain hasn't returned. I'm hoping it's gone. Keep praying for that one, okay? Because it's hard to focus sometimes, you know, when that's happening. But I can get there. It just takes me a little longer. You know, so please keep it in your prayers. Anyway, it's time to have a quick word of prayer before we go to sleep. By your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence among us when we read, and we study, and we pray, and we praise, and we just walk through day by day. Thank you for teaching us how to pray without ceasing. And thank you for forgiving us when we trip and fall every now and then by our own stupidity, and thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves the mountains. And thank you for letting us be alive in these last days and giving us these whopper trials and even the little trials, because we want to be part of that Gideon band, Father. But still, if you want us to take a nap before you get here, that's fine too. That's okay. We trust you 100%. Nothing evil comes from you. So whatever you need us for, Father, we will do the work. Thank you for blessing the work as we do it, too, keeping a hedge of angels around those that do it and the work itself. And, Father, we need the finances and we need the blessings. Even more so, we need the blessings. We need the wisdom, the discernment, the character changing. We need it all. We need the eyes to see. And we need the gentleness, the love of Jesus Christ as we approach people and share him with them. And thank you for blessing us and everyone that's part of the Seventh-day movement, whether they're in this church physically or not. We know there's people out there in the world that believe as we do. We just haven't met them yet. Bless your children. Bless your son's bride. Keep her safe. Keep that hedge of angels around her. And thank you for blessing us on this Sabbath day again with the changing of the showbread. and to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.